The reading is the call of Abraham. The Lord had said to Abraham, "Go from your country, your people, and your father's household to the land I will show you. I will make you into a great nation, and I will bless you. I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you, I will curse. And all people on earth will be blessed through you." Shechem. So Abraham went, as the Lord had told him, and Lot went with him. Abraham was 75 years old when he set out for Haran. He took his wife, Sarah, his nephew Lot, all the possessions they accumulated, and the people they had acquired in Haran, and they set out to the land of Canaan, and they arrived there. Abraham traveled through the land as far as the site of the great tree of Moreh at Shechem. At that time, the Canaanites were in the land. The Lord appeared to Abraham and said, "To your offspring I will give this land." So he built an altar there to the Lord who had appeared to him. From there he went onward towards the hills east of Bethel and pitched his tent, with Bethel on the west and Ai on the east. There he built an altar to the Lord and called on the name of the Lord. Then Abraham set out and continued toward the Negev. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Thank you. Our next hymn is hymn 173, "Sing to God New Songs of Worship."
Thank you.
I don't know whether it's a good topic as a first sermon you give to a new congregation, leaving your comfort zone. I don't know whether it's the right one. So I was struggling to find a better theme, but I had to go with this one. So if it doesn't go well, just know that I tried my best to find a better theme, but I couldn't find one. I know that it's an interesting thing to start a new ministry, but it is also challenging because you find new ways of doing things, and there are things that people are used of doing. But when you are still new, it's better to do certain new things because you still have enough grace from the people. Back home, one thing we love to do is to shout in church. If you can, I'll ask you to do as I do, or as I say you should do, you know, like, give me J, then you will give me J. Probably you remember from the primary school days. So when I say give me J, you give me J. Whatever I ask you to give me, you give me. So let's test it to see if we are on the same page before we leave our comfort zone. Give me J.
J.
Give me O.
O.
Give me Y.
Y.
What do you have?
Joy.
There is joy in the name of
Jesus.
Oh, you got it. Oh, you do it. Actually, you're not even leaving your comfort zone. You know this. So we now are doing it because we are doing a test transmission that time. Give me J.
J.
Give me O.
O.
Give me Y.
Y.
What do you have?
Joy.
There is joy in the name of
Jesus.
Okay, you are doing fine. The way we do it, actually, is that you follow the rhythm of my voice. So if I say, give me J, so you give me J in that tone. Give me J.
J.
Give me O.
O.
Give me Y.
Y.
What do you have?
Joy.
There is joy in the name of
Jesus.
I hope it's one of those things that is okay. That's what I remember and I miss about back home in Zambia, the church in Zambia. Shall we pray? Father, we thank you for your word. As we speak, we ask you, by the power of the Holy Spirit, you guide us in Jesus' name. Amen. For growth and relevance to take place, we must be able to go out of our comfort zone. While our comfort zone was our yesterday's dream, it usually cannot sustain us in our current circumstances and future challenges and opportunities. This is because you cannot solve today's problem using yesterday's strategies. As a church, we need to discern always where God is calling and taking us. Kind of finding, discerning the GPS or the sat-nav that God is using. And this is what I love about this church, the Dandilo Parish. Because me and Stuart have joined a team
which is already on the move. A move which was started and culminated by the coming together of the courtside and the steeple to participate in God's call. You are a people that are already on the move. That's one thing I love about all this. In the story we have read, God had a plan to redeem his people from the challenges that his people had put themselves in. We have read chapter 11 of Genesis. I hope you can get how I pronounce Genesis or Genesis. I don't know which one is the correct one. But from chapters number 1 to chapters number 10, a lot had happened according to the writer of Genesis. And chapter 11, God has a plan. A plan to redeem his people. But because God works in community, he's not doing it by himself. He would like others to participate. And he calls Abraham to participate in the mission of God. Not only to redeem humankind, but also to redeem the entire creation. As the scriptures tell us in Romans, that even the environment, the creation of God, is also yearning for the redemption that is to come in Jesus. For Abram to be co-opted into God's plan or into God's mission, he needed to leave his home, his country, his people, and his ways of doing things. Why? Because humankind and God are too different. God is the creator, and human beings, we are part of his creation. One of the challenges that Adam and Eve failed to differentiate, they did not understand that they were the creation of God and God was the creator. When Satan spoke to Adam and said, don't you want to be like God who knows everything? There, Adam and Eve failed to differentiate that they were the creation and God was the creator. They desired, they wanted to be like God. So Abram had to leave, or was supposed to leave, the way he was used to doing things. He was supposed to leave his family. He was supposed to leave his country. Very interesting. One of the reasons, or should I say another reason why Abraham had to leave his people was because the mission ahead was not only for Abraham, but it was for God's people. It was for everyone. And Abraham was going to be a vessel through which God wanted to redeem and bless the entire creation. Another reason may have been that Abraham needed to depend on God fully. And this could only be done well when one is on a journey. I believe those of us that have gone on certain journeys, you understand that that's when you begin, your dependence of God, on God begin to grow. You begin to appreciate God when you are in a land which is not a land you've grown up in. Because when you are where you've grown up, you know all the things, what to do to survive. But when you are in a foreign land, usually God is your number one dependent. And God said to Abraham that he was taking him to a land, but he did not tell him where and how that place or what place, whatever. It's different with the journeys that we take when we are going on holiday. We plan. But on this journey, Abraham is taken into the unknown. A journey in the unknown where you're acquired GPS. I'm using GPS and SatNav mostly because here I have to depend on GPS and SatNav to get to places. So when I was contemplating on the text, it just came, and I'm loving it. The GPS, you know, it took me somewhere. It takes me some many places. Even from home to church, I have to depend on it, so that I don't get into another road, because here the roads are kind of interesting, you know? So a journey into the unknown, where the acquired GPS of Abraham or the SatNav, you know, begins to stop. And then the inbuilt, he had to tap on the GPS or the SatNav of God. Which means Abraham was to begin to listen more on that journey. This is because when you are in your comfort zone, sometimes you may not be able to recognize where God is calling you to, because you know you figured out things. I've seen, like I was talking about the SatNav, you know, I've been driven by some folk in the church here. You people don't use SatNav to go to Abercorn Street, you know, because you are used to that. But when you go into the unknown, you'll have to begin to depend. And sometimes we do not appreciate how God is taking us when we are in the place where we are all used up. But why did God have to ask Abraham to move out of his area? You know, in the ancient world, in the Old Testament times, all the various gods, there were different gods that time, who were worshipped and relied upon by people. They were gods of a particular place, a particular people, or a nation. This meant that the choice of the gods to be venerated by a social unit rested in the hands of the communal leaders or a leader of a family. Therefore, for God to interact with such a community, God needed to create a link with one of the patriarchs of a community, hence calling Abraham so that he could move into that community. This story of Abraham and his moving away kind of reminded me to our story of moving to this place. First of all, when I was being ordained as a minister in Zambia some few years ago, I never thought I would leave Zambia to come to a country like Scotland or any other place. We had actually even never thought we would leave Zambia even before becoming a minister. But now, I am convinced And we have certain conversation with my wife that for sure this is what God is doing. This is a doing of the Lord to be here. And we feel we are called to Scotland and to Dandilaw. But in as much as we are convinced that we have been called here, sometimes it gets confusing. Unfortunately, we don't know much about what happened to Abraham and Sarah and Lot. We don't know what conversations they had. We do not know whether Abraham just told Sarai, the wife, that, oh, let's go, God is calling us this side. And oh, she said, oh, yes, let's go, it is the Lord. I don't know how, we don't know that conversation. We are only left to speculate. For me, the thought of practicing ministry in a foreign context started when I was at theological school, but never thought I was going to move. At theological school, we had expatriate lecturers from the Netherlands, from the USA, and different parts of the world. So it dawned on me that it was possible to practice ministry in a foreign country. The second time this thought passed through my head was on our induction in 2015, when my former youth pastor came to preach. In Zambia, we don't have the preaching in service. The one to be inducted picks the preacher on the day of induction. So I had picked my former youth pastor. And when he came to preach, he said, Peter, I have come to do two things, to give you prayer points. I've not come to preach today. That was part of his message. He was reading from Jeremiah, and he said Jeremiah's ministry is still impacting us till today. And he said the first prayer point he has come to give me on our induction is that our ministry was going to outlive us, that wherever we go, we are going to leave a mark, and that mark will be remembered even when we are long gone. The second thing he said in that preaching, he said, like John Calvin, the reformer of Swiss, the French reformer, he said, Calvin believed that the world was his congregation. So he said, Peter, your ministry will not be limited by Ibex Hill congregation where you are being inducted today. Your ministry will not be limited by in the Reformed Church in Zambia. Your ministry will be everywhere, like Calvin. I didn't think much about that. It was in 2021, after I had moved from that congregation, after serving there for 5 years and 3 months, we moved to Ndola, in the Copper Belt province of Zambia, that I begin to think about moving after conversation with a friend of mine who is serving in Canada. I'd never thought of Scotland. But when I thought about that, I thought of my wife who had a job. How do I tell her? You know. It was interesting that the moment I shared with her, she said, you can give it a try. I think such a ministry might suit you. That's what she said. I eventually started the process of applying in the United Church of Canada, where some ministers of Reformed Church in Zambia are. But it was until after a colleague of mine who was studying in the Netherlands asked me to check out the Church of Scotland. And when I read the website of the Church of Scotland, I kind of fell in love with the Church of Scotland. But it wasn't an easy decision to make. I felt the Church of Scotland, in terms of theology, my church was closer than to the other side of the Atlantic. But I couldn't do that, like I said, because I had not consulted my wife until later on. It was through prayer and conversations later on with my wife that we began the process to apply to the Church of Scotland and did not stop to apply to the United Church of Canada because we didn't know which one is which. And the moment that you thought of about the visa application fees, the United Kingdom are huge, huge costs. You know, you have to pay a health surcharge of £1,000 per year, so you pay it 3 years, £3,000, one person. But in the United Church of in Canada, you just pay for one person, it's every member of the family will be catered for. So you see that kind of conversation in about thinking about a move. But what we said with my wife in our conversation was that if the Lord is opening a door to Scotland, that door, the Lord will open it and it will move well in comparison to the other one. And here we are, because God led us here. God led us here. Our journey just started in my heart, having silly conversation in myself. Never planned would leave, but silly conversations. You know, where you begin to feel a void in yourself, that sometimes the system is not responsive enough to the challenges of a time. The interesting thing is that as we are conversating and thinking about all these applications, that was a time I discovered a new way of doing ministry, a new way of doing preaching. When I was in theological school, I was taught, you explain the Bible and apply it. Explain, apply it, or explain and apply. But by that time, I had discovered a certain way of doing it, making people laugh when they come to church. Something at my heart told me, was pressed on me, that people were carrying a lot of burdens from their life situations. So when they come to church, they must have a light moment as the word of God is being ministered. So I used to make people laugh like no man's business. My wife would tell me, but you're a minister, why do you make jokes? You know, and I would tell her that I'm thinking God is taking me in this direction, and would conversate at home day, every day. She talks me down on Sunday. I even go an extra mile. You know, it was an interesting. And that was a time I also, it was also pressed on me to begin talking about intrapreneur skills, intrapreneur strategies in the church, because young people are not finding employment because issues of poverty, empowerment of women, and that's how we began rearing pigs at the manse and later on took them to the farm. Because we thought a new way of doing ministry, a ministry that will respond to the challenges that the people are going through, but also taking them to heaven. But then a move came for us. We descend, leaving the Reformed Church in Zambia and coming here. Mwira is a person who loves stability. I'm one who loves adventure things. So it wasn't easy to make her or to let her decide that she was going to leave her job. Sometimes this is what the call of God takes us through. It moves, it shakes us. And at Dandilo, we have already started descending, and we should continue descend. Where is God taking us? Where does God want us to go? What impact does God want us to have? We must always remember we are blessed so that others can be blessed. We are a channel of blessings. We are a channel of blessings. God has blessed us so that we may be a blessing to others. And I know we are already on that journey. But I don't know how we discern that now this is God speaking. I've spoken over a story of how God has moved us. But I know God will always be with us. He's with us already. And God will lead us and will be with us all the days of our lives. Go, be a blessing. May God be with us. Amen.